On the second Sunday of Advent, one of the great figures of Advent makes his appearance in the scriptures. He sort of bursts onto the scene, Saint John the Baptist, the precursor of the Lord. And this year, it's kind of very dramatic, especially we've begun in our new lectionary series cycle for this year, we're reading from the Gospel of Mark. And Mark's Gospel, if you were listening, the Gospel tonight is proclaimed by our good deacon. It said, it began by saying, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And John, Mark begins his Gospel with John the Baptist in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming the need to prepare the way of the Lord and to make straight his paths. And John is a very austere figure. You know, even Jesus himself contrasted the way that John was with the way that he was. John, from his infancy, was focused on the coming of Jesus Christ. Alone. At the visitation, you may remember, when the Blessed Virgin Mary comes, bearing in her womb the infant Jesus, to greet her cousin Elizabeth, who is expecting St. John the Baptist, 6 months older than Jesus. And it says that the baby John the Baptist leaps in his mother's womb, recognizing the presence of Jesus. At another place, right at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, when he goes out to be baptized by John in the Jordan, you know, at that point nobody really knew who Jesus was. You know, lots and lots of people were coming to John out to be baptized, and Jesus was just one of these people coming out there. He wasn't known at that point. He hadn't worked any of his miracles or anything, you know, that they had begun his public ministry. And John, of this, you know, crowds of people that are coming out, points to this one. It says, behold the Lamb of God. We use those very words in the Mass later on. And for the crowd of those people coming out from Jerusalem or going up to Jerusalem to see John out in the wilderness, they would have known that Lamb of God meant, behold the victim of sacrifice. How did John have this clarity of vision that nobody else had? Well, he set his heart and his life entirely on God. And he really violently almost stripped everything else away. The Judean wilderness where he lived was a very harsh place. You know, on the pilgrimage that this parish so graciously gave me on my 25th anniversary of my ordination, I got to visit and see it's remarkable in the Holy Land how the climate can change so much in such a small area. And the Judean wilderness looks like the moon or something. It is completely barren and arid. And this is where John was. John had been consecrated, you know, to the service of God. And he lived a life of real mortification. But that was not an end in itself. It was in order to be able to point out the one who is mightier than I, who is coming, whose straps of his sandals I'm not worthy to unfasten. It was all so that he could know Jesus and he could point out Jesus. And really, that's what mortification is for in our lives as well. And we really ought to practice mortification. We think of, you know, Lent as the season of giving things up, but I think Advent can be a good one of giving things up too if we follow the example of John the Baptist. to focus our lives on God. When we just sort of do everything the way we want to do it and satisfy our, you know, desires, you know, and this doesn't mean necessarily mean living in some, you know, wildly luxurious way, but this is the way I like things, and I'm going to do things this way, and this is when I like to have my cup of coffee or whatever, all those kinds of things. If we indulge ourselves in that too much, we become concerned about ourselves rather than being concerned about God. And that's what John the Baptist, that's why he had that clarity of vision, because he really stripped all that away. He let himself become very detached from the things of this world so that he could be focused on the coming of Christ. And he tells us to prepare in a very particular way. He quotes the prophet Isaiah. We heard it in the first reading tonight. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Make straight his paths. I'm always reminded when I hear that. I grew up in a little town that's on the other side of Nashville, a really little place called Ashland City. And there's another little town, even littler than Ashland City, a little bit further west, called Charlotte. It's the county seat of Dickson County. And there's a very pretty highway that goes from Ashland City to Charlotte, but it's very windy. There are a couple of even like switchbacks almost on it. I have some of my father's family is from Dickson County, and we would go over that way at times. And I would say, oh, Daddy, let's take the road through Charlotte. And he'd say, no, I don't like that road. It's so windy and curvy and all that sort of thing. We'll go the other way. And I said, okay. And, you know, my father, I guess in this regard, was listening to John the Baptist, take the straight road. But what is this winding road that we need to straighten out? I mean, really, John the Baptist isn't talking about road construction. That's not what he's interested in. What windy ways is he talking about? Well, there's a place in Scripture it talks about the most twisted and convoluted ways or road there are the ways of the human heart. And at least speaking for myself, that is the gospel truth. I am very, very, very good at twisting things up that ought to be very straight. Of coming up with rationalizations for things that there really isn't any rationalizing for. Have you ever caught yourself saying something like, I really shouldn't say this, but I really shouldn't do this, but I really shouldn't watch this, but I really shouldn't eat this, but, well, you know, we'd all be a lot better off if we just stopped right before the but, okay? If I shouldn't say it, don't. If I shouldn't watch it, don't. If I shouldn't spend my time thinking about it, dwelling about it, don't. But instead we engage in these convoluted things. Why it's okay to really do that, you know? Why it's okay to engage in this really destructive gossip. Why it's really okay to watch this really bad movie. Why it's really okay to like replay things in my mind over and over and over again and get all riled up about it again, or whatever it is that you justify doing. Those are those twisty ways of the heart that have got to be straightened out. You know, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And anything more than that is from the evil one. St. John the Baptist was a straight shooter, okay? It was a bad idea to go out and see John the Baptist if you were, he would call you out. Maybe it was a good idea. We probably need to be called out in that way. But John the Baptist was this straight shooter. He saw things straight. He saw them clearly because he had straightened out all those crooked ways in his heart. It's not an easy thing to do. Again, it takes this mortification, this dying to self. As the Lord Jesus himself said, you know, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And a very wonderful priest I knew, he's gone on to God now, but he said, of those three things, the first one is the hardest. And if you're having trouble with something, you probably don't need to go much beyond that question. Am I denying myself? I guess not, maybe not. And so this will help us to be able to see Jesus, to recognize him. Did you hear the word I really wanted to preach on tonight was the last word of the second reading? At peace. Would you like to be at peace? I would like to be at peace. And it's that straight way to Jesus Christ that brings us to peace. John the Baptist could recognize Jesus when nobody else did, because he had straightened out all those twisty ways of his heart. And we can too. We can too. You know, think of when Jesus came at Christmas, that first Christmas. Again, practically nobody recognized him, did they? It was the most astonishing thing that had ever happened in the history of the world. And nobody noticed, practically. Well, let's get to work this Advent. Let's listen to John the Baptist. Let's prepare the way of the Lord and straighten out those twisty ways in our hearts. One of the best ways to do that, of course, is to make a good, honest confession. And when you do that, you experience the goodness of the Lord, don't you? I knew a priest one time giving a talk at a retreat on confession, and one of the students asked, Father, he said, do you like going to confession? He said, I like coming out of confession, right? And that's what this is all about. To straighten out these ways, to come to the goodness of the Lord, to be at peace.